This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, Steve Martorano. Hope you have made a point of these many years to be joining us as we pull together some experts in the field of behavioral health and elsewhere. The whole idea, of course, has been to foster diverse and meaningful conversations on things like substance abuse and, in a wider sense, our mental health and well-being. Whole thing, of course, is underwritten by our partners and great friends in this field, Retreat Behavioral Health, about which a little bit later. Well, you know, it seems like one long day. Of course, we have done a series of programs, as should come as no surprise, regarding the current epidemic and the coronavirus crisis that we are in now. I can't think of anything in my lifetime that has had as profound an effect on our lives as has this epidemic. It has altered life in unimaginable ways, in ways that a month or so ago we would never have imagined, not least of which is the fact that the kids are not in school. I think the school closings may have been one of the more profoundly not upsetting, but dislocating events that took place in the lives of certainly people in this country, but worldwide. The figure I saw the other day provided by the United Nations has something like 1.2 billion. That's 1.2 billion children now home being schooled by their parents or loved ones because the schools have been closed. So if there are over a billion children being homeschooled by parents, many of whom are ill-equipped to do it, that means there is at least that many parents who are just on the edge of exhaustion and craziness. I know I hear it from my circle of friends, certainly in my family. It's not easy. We're going to try to help you take a look at that in the simplest sense, to let you know that this is a very common thing. It's going on everywhere. You're not alone. But then also bring some sharper insights into that. To that end, we welcome to Recovery Radio today our guest, Mike Roth. Mike is the principal of Olney Elementary School. That is a Philadelphia, Pennsylvania school. And he is, in addition to that and those responsibilities, he is the father of three very young children who are exactly where I just described your kids, probably. They're home trying to keep up with their studies. So we welcome Mike Roth from Olney Elementary School to the program. Mike, thanks so much. I know you're busy, so I appreciate your time.
Hey, Steve. I really appreciate you having me on, and yeah, thanks.
So how many kids in your elementary school?
So at Olney Elementary School, we have right around 900 students total.
And then refresh my memory. Elementary school covers grades.
So yeah, good question. So we are not maybe a traditional elementary school. We are grades kindergarten through eighth grade.
Oh.
So roughly around 100 students per grade.
Okay, so it's a big responsibility. They now have all been, of course, obviously scattered to their homes, trying to stay abreast. Your job as a principal, I know, is not to teach these kids one-on-one. Maybe it is. We'll find out. But certainly to provide guidance to your instructors and your teachers and making sure that the kids can stay as current as they can. So what are you hearing from, first, your teachers about how the effort goes in general? And what kind of feedback, if anything, are you hearing from the parents?
Yeah, I think, and I heard you mention a few things. I mean, this has been an unprecedented event. So it really has been a learning process for our school community, and definitely our teachers, our students, our parents. I think the first step, the shutdown happened so quickly and so abruptly. We went from, you know, planning on being there next week to all of a sudden we were shut down. So, you know, teachers didn't necessarily have opportunity to grab their things or instructional materials. And then there was the question, you know, really, is this going to be something that goes on for a while? Are we going to be able to come back? And so I think once, you know, we as a school started to realize, hey, we're not coming back, we had to start planning for what is this going to look like moving forward. And for our school, that was a heavy lift because in some of the maybe more affluent areas, technology might be easier to access. Now, some of our students have technology and the resources they need to connect online, but many students did not. So I think step one for our school was thinking, how can we get kids connected? And fortunately, there were some generous donors. I believe the president of Comcast donated a couple million dollars to the school district, and we were able to use the Chromebooks that we had in our school and the supplemental Chromebooks through that donation to pass out a Chromebook to any student who wanted one, and really just open up channels for connection between the teachers and the students. Then our next step there was really figuring out, well, now we need to transition to online learning. Fortunately, a lot of the teachers in my school were already really adept at using the platform we use is Google Classroom. I think a lot of schools across the country are using that platform right now, but it's very user-friendly. Teachers can create assignments. Kids can go in, complete those assignments, and then submit those assignments. But there was also a learning curve for teachers to be trained on some of these materials that they may not have used in their regular day-to-day instruction with students. So not only were we transitioning to online learning, but there's also the process of learning how to use online learning in an effective manner.
Yeah, you know what I'm struck by in that description? It mirrors almost every other effort that was undertaken as a result of the epidemic. And in that, I mean, the event occurs, a call to action sort of goes out. But it changes. It morphs. For instance, I mean, you guys didn't know that this was going to be anything of a, you know, of a lengthy situation. So the plans keep changing. It's like everything about the virus. Plans keep changing, and it keeps people unsteady. I think one of the things that's probably going on inside most homes is the sense of parents being overwhelmed and wondering, is this ever going to end?
Yeah,
I mean, it's the indefinite nature of this thing. So are you getting feedback through your teachers from the parents? What are they telling you?
So I think that we're finally in the school district. We used the first couple weeks as people were getting connected to do really enrichment and review activities. Assignments at that point weren't graded. Attendance wasn't taken. It was really used at this time for folks to connect. Now we're transitioning into that stage of grading and attendance. So I think that we're, to be honest, really just starting to hit our stride and what this is going to look like. So, you know, our teachers are starting to have their online classes every week, and they're now more familiar with how to give assignments. So my hope is that really over the next month and a half, a greater sense of normalcy can occur for students and teachers. So I can't say that we've hit our stride yet. I feel like we're just about to really enter that phase. And I think everything that, you know, has happened up until this point, I think people have been doing their best. Mm-hmm. But I think that right now we're kind of getting into that place where we can start to become more effective and maybe get folks into routines until things change again.
Yeah. It's the changing circumstances. When you talk about, you know, taking attendance, for instance, that wouldn't be something one would immediately think of because, after all, it's not going to last that long. Well, now we know it is, and so your expectations change, as an educator, and parents' expectations have to change as well, I'm sure. So, do I understand?
Steve, one thing I wanted to mention, even with taking something as simple as taking attendance, completely changes because, you know, prior to that, it might be, you know, the student is present in a class, but now it might be, hey, this assignment should take 2 days. I've provided a video for you on how to do this. I'm going to provide a time to check in. So basically, I might not see that student over those 3 days, but they might complete that assignment. So I'm going to give them credit for those 3 days, even though they were operating on a completely different time frame as the teacher was.
Yeah, obviously the class doesn't start at a certain time, and they all have to sit there in front of the screen. So
yeah.
It's, again, the shape-shifting of this problem and how to deal with it. That's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you hearing from parents? What are they telling you?
I think, you know, parents the parents I've talked to initially, they were like, what's going on? Like, when are we getting connected? When are classes going to start? I think that was the initial sense. I think, you know, obviously it's been stressful for parents. I know a lot of our parents are expressing, and even in my own home, you know, trying to do their own job and then also educate their children at the same time. So I think that, you know, it's definitely been stressful for families. And I think it's one of those things what I would encourage folks to have is have a lot of grace for themselves in this process, because it is something, like you said, it's fluid. We're learning. But I think I know folks really would love to send their kids back to school, my own family included. But I think right now our parents are trying to figure out that balance of how do I get my kid the education that they need. And I think that's another big thing. I think folks have a lot of worries around, is my child going to fall behind? Is my child going to have the skills that they need to move on to the next grade? And I know that that's something that folks are pretty anxious about.
Mike Roth is our guest. Mike is the principal of Olney Elementary School in the city of Philadelphia, and he's taking us through his background, or his expertise as an educator in general. And when we come back, we're going to get a little more information about what goes on in the trenches of his house, because he has three young ones at home that need to be educated as well. Recovery Radio, we have more with our guest. Don't go away. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. Steve Martorano with you, our guest on the telephone. Principal of Olney Elementary School in Philadelphia, Mike Roth is our guest. He, as I said, is the principal of the school. It has about 900 students in the elementary grades. He has three young ones at home that he is now taking care of, as many of you are as well, and educating them at home. He's really giving us a real up-close look from a professional educator standpoint, and a dad and a father, about how this is this working, this extraordinary homeschooling, a worldwide effort. So Mike, a couple of things that you mentioned in the first segment there that I want to circle back on, nuts and bolts stuff. In the case of the Philadelphia school system, what's going to now constitute a whole year, or are they even counting anymore?
Yeah, so I do. I don't know the specifics, but I do know that the state passed some different rules and regulations that basically change the traditional 180-day school year and are going to make some allowances. So kids won't be held back if they don't actually physically attend those 180 days. So I know there's been some tweaks to that to make sure that we're not punishing kids or folks are being held accountable for a situation that's outside of their control.
Yeah. With regard to taking attendance, I mean, is that still going on? Is that a requirement for someone like in your position? Do you have to do that?
Yeah. So I kind of had mentioned we are taking attendance at our school. It's not going to look as traditional, based on student participation, check-ins with teachers. And I can say I actually really appreciate the School District of Philadelphia's approach to this. The school district has recognized that these are very stressful times for families. So while we're strongly encouraging attendance, students are expected to attend, we're also not penalizing students if something comes up where they're unable to complete something or unable to do something, because we're recognizing the level of stress that families are under during this time, and also some of the potential barriers to children being able to access the material, or something is that maybe people take for granted is accessing the internet. So those are some things that we're trying to work out as a district, but also recognizing that we can't punish students or hold that against them if they're not able to submit something. However, we're strongly encouraging it. We know it's in their best interest. to make sure that they're getting access to the content that they should be.
Yeah. This sounds like a broader emphasis on keeping the learning muscles flexed and useful rather than, okay, you're learning this today and then this tomorrow. You want to keep the context of learning alive in the home. The other stuff will sort of sort itself out. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing, it's interesting, you know, I was talking to my wife about this, and I was talking to my neighbor about this the other day. I think people are so worried that their kids are going to be behind. But one thing I did want to point out, you know, really when we shut down, when we plan our instruction for the year, our planning and scheduling timeline tries to address all the new content that a student's going to receive before they take their state exams. And really, they take their state exams right after spring break. So most of the new content that a child is going to be exposed to occurs before April. So the way I look at it, we really only, in my mind, we only missed 3 weeks of new content, usually after the state exams. It's not that time is not important. It's very important. But a lot of times we're spending that time reviewing standards that we previously taught that year to provide extra support for those students, or we're previewing concepts that they're going to see the following year. So I was trying to express to some folks, like, you don't need to be that worried, because we really haven't missed that much of the new material. So these 5 weeks or 6 weeks where we're able to reconnect online, we can really use that to then hit some of that new content and maybe even have time to spend some time reviewing previous concepts. So I thought that was something that, you know, parents should know that, yeah, you know, your child probably didn't miss that much of the core content and curriculum for the year by missing this last month and a half.
Yeah. Is it also fair, and again, you're not in the policymaking position, but is it also fair for parents to think in general, with regard to fear of falling behind, that everybody stopped at the same point? At least in the, you know, in places like Pennsylvania, everyone, all the students stopped in the same point. So no one's getting extra help anywhere, or, whatever you put into this, you will get out of it. I would guess that after everything settles back down and the schools back and reopen, there's going to have to be a period of appraisal. Okay, where are you now as a student body?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we go into the school year in September, all schools are going to have to reflect and address the fact that there might have been some concepts that all students are going to need to spend a little more time on before we move on to future concepts. So I think you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody stopped at that point. Everybody kind of shifted what it is they're doing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, no kids fall that much further behind other kids in a situation like this.
Yeah, and it'll be the job of folks like you to bring your staff together and say, look, we need a kind of general metric to measure to see where they all are as a group, who and inside that, you know, where others might rise or fall, so that we can start the engine of education up again. Mike, I'm going to break here now and come back for a bit longer so we can talk about what's going on inside the homes. I can tell you from my family's perspective that my daughter and son-in-law, who have backgrounds in education, their hands are full. I know you are in a similar situation. So we'll talk a little bit about what's actually going on in the trenches of homeschooling during the pandemic. This is Recovery Radio.
Sounds appropriate.
Don't go away. We have more. Stay with us. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. I'm Steve Martorano. We'll return to our guest in a second. But a reminder that the underwriters for the program and our great, great partners and friends from Retreat Behavioral Health want me to remind you the mission that they've agreed upon when they decided to support this program. They support it as an informational and an educational tool. Now, this is not to say they are not a world-class behavioral health facility. They are. And if you have difficulties and want some answers in that specific area for yourself or a loved one, you could do, believe me, no better than to call them up. But they're here to answer any questions you have regarding that field: substance abuse, treatment, recovery. and mental health issues in general. So I give you the phone number, and I tell you this every week. I hope you never have to use it. But in a tough situation, it can make a big difference. Retreat Behavioral Health, 855-859-8810. With us from the Olney Elementary School in the city of Philadelphia, its principal, Mike Roth, has been gracious enough to take time out. He's very busy. He's got his own kids at home to educate. Plus, he's responsible for an elementary school of 900 students and the staff there. And they're all in the same trenches. All parents are trying to figure out how to homeschool in the middle of a tremendous crisis. So the stories now, Mike, are just, you know, they're just legendary about how parents are tearing their hair out and just at wit's end and trying to educate kids at home. Can I begin before we talk about real specifics here? Is it important? I was wondering the other day. It's been very, very long since I had a kid around and tried to do math with them. So forgive me if I'm mistaken. Is it wrong for parents to think that their kids are the same kinds of people at home as they are outside of the house? Do you know what I mean by that? I mean, you see.
Yeah. I mean, I do think kids respond very differently to different situations. I'll use my one son as an example. He's a model student in the classroom. But at home, he's definitely much more of a challenge. There's been a few times where we've had to pick him up off the floor after rolling around and, you know, some temper tantrums. And in school, he's a model student. You know, the teacher tells us how amazing he is. But at home, he has been more difficult when it comes to getting him to do the assignments.
And I suppose that that your expectation, not to mention your behavior in a situation like that, has to be altered as well. In a classroom situation, someone who's not a model student is dealt with in a specific way. At home, when it's your kid not behaving the way you think, you kind of forget you're supposed to be educating here and you become the disciplinarian. That's a problem too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, my best defense there has been letting him know, hey, do I have to reach out to your teacher? And that usually gets him right in line. He doesn't want to listen to dad or mom, but once he hears that the teacher might find out, he's right on point.
So how old are your children?
My daughter, Lena, is 9, and then I have a son who is 8, and then a son who is 6.
So all three of them were in school prior to this, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. All at the same school, Philadelphia Public School, yes.
What are the is there a big difference between the education one would get at 9 years as opposed to 6? Is it vastly different, or 8? I mean, can you teach them all the same things at the same time? How's that working?
Well, I think that's a big challenge. The content is very different. Some of the, you know, I'm not saying it should be this way, but sometimes the teaching can trend towards small group instruction in the lower grades. To more direct instruction in the older grades, although I do think small group instruction is a best practice. Plus, in a school, you have one teacher with one style. At home, you have three different teachers with three different styles sending you assignments for your students. So that can also be a challenge as well, because teachers have different learning expectations and different styles themselves. So it might be hard to meld all those together in the home.
Yeah. Do you have any advice you can give people or tell us what's working for you with regard to something as prosaic as, you know, where do you do this? Do you do it at the kitchen table? Do you do it in their bedrooms? Where should the learning place be in the home?
Yeah, I think those are great questions, because I think one of the things that I've seen, and we've done this in our own house, and you know, you see a lot of parents on Facebook posting this, is to really create a schedule. I think if you can create a schedule, you create that continuity for the students. They become more comfortable with what is expected of them when, just like in a school setting. I do think picking a location and a place, we've kind of created three separate learning locations. And you may want to, when you're doing that, think of, hey, can I have maybe two or three locations So maybe I have a reading center here and my writing center is here, because sometimes that's good as well. If kids can move around, they don't get all that energy balled up and they start to lose interest in what they're doing. It's sometimes nice for them to be able to move around. There's also a website called Go Noodle. It gives kids a brain break. A lot of teachers use that in school. That website, Go Noodle, can be a nice like physical exercise activity. And the other thing I would say is don't forget the arts in your schedule. Usually, the schools should be providing some time for art or music, but in their own lessons. But if not, you may want to, find an online drawing video that a kid can do once a day, or if they really like to sing, some type of sing-along, because it's really important the kids continue to get exposed to the arts as well, because that's something that they are getting in school. But most schools, I do know, are addressing those special classes as well.
Yeah. How, as an educator who presumably you guys have plans and you'd like to see your students follow them, how much latitude do you give parents to, I guess, freelance, to come up with creative ideas they think will help their children learn? That's a good idea, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, one of the things I wrote down, I haven't talked about, is you need to know your child. And, parents know their child or know their children better than anyone else most of the time. So I do think if you know your child's learning style, I mean, if they absolutely love to read, you may want to expand their reading time to be a little bit longer. If you know your child needs that physical activity and that momentum, that's where it's great to build in something like that Go Noodle website that I talked about. But I definitely, and that's one thing I would say to parents, is you have a little bit of grace for yourself and your child. And I think that's really important to hear. If things aren't going perfectly and you need to end early that day, that's fine. If your schedule doesn't work out that day or something comes up, I think schools should be understanding that these are really difficult times, and that, we're going to have some flexibility there as well. Plus, kids are dealing with a lot of anxiety. So there might be a day where they just shut down and they can't do the work that day. And I think my other piece of advice would be in close communication with your child's teacher or counselor or school. Most schools have their contact information for all the different individuals up on their website. I know we do. And, this is our job to help families in this process. So I think my best piece of advice would be quick to reach out to the teacher if you need help, if you need assistance. Mm-hmm. There are ways that teachers are able to meet with students in small groups to go over a concept that you might be pulling your hair out over because mm-hmm. You just didn't learn math that way. Mm-hmm. And now they're teaching math a little bit differently. So mm-hmm. I would say make sure you're in communication with your teacher and show yourself some grace as well in this process.
If parents have some questions or concerns about the psychology of their children, what they're really feeling during this crisis, can they reach out through you guys to maybe have a counselor?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we have three counselors at my school, and all of their emails are on the website. If a person wasn't able to find a counselor's information on the website, I would encourage them to email the teacher or email the principal and ask for that information. But I think that's very important. I know our counselors have been checking in with students, have been talking with students throughout this process. I don't know the details of those conversations and can't share that, but I do know that they have been in regular communication with a lot of different students. Plus, I think most school settings work to build relationships between adults and students. So maybe it's not always the counselor. We have school climate staff members. We have college age volunteers that work in our school. So we've actually worked to partner some of those folks with different students in our school just to check in, to be an extra support. And I think if any parent needs that or they think their student needs that, that they should reach out to the school. And I know our counselors are also willing to talk to parents as well. Right. So if a parent is stressed out about this, the counselors will be glad to talk with them as well about this situation. I would highly advise folks, if they're really stressed out about this, to use the schools as a resource.
Yeah, the whole crisis is so isolating. You can wind mm-hmm. up thinking that, you know, you're the only one going through this. Just this one, we're going to take our final break here coming up. But before we do, you mentioned structure. We all, you know, pay lip service. Kids like structure. We have to, you know, that may be true, but you have to be flexible with that. But I get mm-hmm. the idea of, you know, give them some kind of routine they can look forward to. Does that include, let me ask you in your case, do your kids, are they required, not required, but do they get up at the same time? Do they do their studies in their pajamas, or do they have to be, how are you working with it? Is that just something you shouldn't even worry about?
I think whatever works best.
Yeah,
there.
Right.
I think our kids, our kids have, I think, had a mixture. You know, some days they change into their clothes, some days they're in their pajamas. One thing I will say that we have stuck to is we make sure there's a physical activity every day, that the kids are doing something physical, whether it's just going for a short walk or, you know, riding their scooter or their bike up and down the block. We know that it's really important that kids get that physical activity in. So that's something I wouldn't leave out if I was a parent.
Great. Mike Roth is our guest. He's a principal at the Olney Elementary School in the city of Philadelphia. We're talking about homeschooling. We have more with Mike. Don't go away. This is Recovery Radio. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. Our guest has been Mike Roth. Mike is a principal at an elementary school in the city of Philadelphia. He is, in the interest of complete disclosure, a friend of our families, and my daughter and son-in-law have known Mike for a very long time, and his family. He has been with us to, you know, give us sort of his perspective as both a father with kids at home, he's trying to school, but as an administrator at, as I said, an elementary school with about 900 students. Mike, this has been really great, and I think much needed. People are really, as you know, very stressed out about everything regarding the pandemic, but schooling the kids at home has been particularly difficult because of the lockdown. So, you know, let's leave the folks in the trenches there, the moms and dads and caregivers, the grandparents very often who are doing this. If you can give us a couple of, you know, nuts and bolts suggestions on how to make this more effective, easier, and less stressful, that would be helpful.
Yeah. I think I mentioned a few of these things, but I think they're worth revisiting. I would say, number one, communication with your child's teacher. Make sure you have that open line of communication, and if for some reason you feel like there's a barrier there, bring that to the school administration, because that is really important in your child's progress. We talked about creating a schedule. Create a schedule for your children, where they're going to identify where they're going to do their work throughout the day. There's also a lot of really good websites out there. You can research those. I'll give you a few. Khan Academy, K-H-A-N. Khan Academy is a great website that I know I've used with my own kids before. There's great science websites out there like Brain Pop and Mystery Science, all these things you can just Google. And I would say make sure you're incorporating some physical education, some physical activity. Go Noodle is a great website for that. You know, it's easy to look up an art lesson online. There's, you know, thousands upon thousands of art lessons on YouTube. I know one of the ones my kids really like is Mo Willems, you know, very good author for younger kids. So we've been, you know, watching some of his videos and having the kids do artwork. Or maybe it's singing or dancing. There's videos for all those things. So I would say incorporate those things. And I would remind people that, you know, your kids are not falling as far behind as you may think. A lot of schools have covered most of the core content before they covered that before April hits. And really, that last month and a half, we are maybe addressing a few new concepts, but it's a lot of review and enrichment. So, you know, you don't need to be that concerned about what we may perceive as being missed. And I know a lot of schools now are doing a really good job of getting things up and running where we're trying to make it as normal as possible. And my last piece of advice to parents is, you know, really have some grace for yourself and your child. These are stressful times. Schools recognize that. Teachers recognize that. And that's why I say, you know, be in communication with your school. If you need some counseling support, reach out to the guidance counselor. If an assignment is really stressing you out, reach out to the teacher. If you feel like something's not working out the way you need it to, reach out to the principal. That is our job. Our school's job is to serve, the families and the students, and really make the best of this crazy circumstance.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much. It was really a great look at what's going on here now from someone who, as I said, is experiencing it as a private individual, a parent, and somebody who is a professional educator. I'd love to have you back on again sometime to talk about a lot more of these issues with regard to our kids in education. I really appreciate your time. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Steve.
Our pleasure. Mike Roth, principal, Olney Elementary School. Great stuff. And if you leave with just the notion that you're not in this alone and there's a lot of people out there to support this, then that was worthwhile. We thank Mike for his time. Programming note now, I'm going to tell you that this will be our final Recovery Radio broadcast. Over the airways, the friendly airways of 1210 WPHT. The station has been, a great partner these past few years, and we thank everybody involved for their terrific support. But the exciting news for us here on the show is that we'll be moving our efforts to the wonderful world of podcasting beginning June 1st. Please keep a lookout for our new podcast, which is going to be called Behavioral Corner. Think of it as a place to gather. Still partnering, of course, with Retreat Behavioral Health. The new show will still aim to inform, educate, and maybe even entertain you with the best fact-based content that we have always strived to give you, to provide you, regarding all things related to your health and well-being. So I want to thank you again for listening, and please take a look out for the new website, which is in progress. You can go check it out as it's being built, www.behavioralcorner.com. And then come June, please join us for the Behavioral Corner wherever you get your podcasts. So thanks for all the time on this radio station. And please look for us wherever, as I said, finer podcasts can be had. Behavioral Corner. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.